is go.
Agapus is go.
PTC is go.
Copy us is go.
Houston flight is go.
Polycom.
STM is go.
Safetycom is go.
STE is go.
LRD is go.
SRO is go.
CDR is go.
Launch director NTD, our launch team is ready to proceed at this time.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Site Patriots has a message for liberals and the mainstream media.
You can't handle the truth.
So, buckle up, snowflakes, because we're about to deliver the politically direct best in conservative commentary, news, and investigative reports. We're telling the truth, and we're not gonna stop. Okay, liberals, back under the bridge with the rest of your fellow trolls, and oh yeah, thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots.
They are special, special people
on RSPRadio1.com. Welcome to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com. Craig Andreessen at the National Patriot, Diane Sorey at the Patriot Factor, Friday night edition of the show, 5/14/21. That's your date. Good evening, Diane.
Evening, Craig.
And how are you?
Not happy with this stupid website.
Diane, of course, is referring to our glorious website, RSPRadio1.com. You're trying to put up some breaking news. We're not going to tell people right now what that breaking news is. But before we get to the end of the show tonight, we are going to tell you, and folks, you do not want to miss it.
Okay? Oh, no. It's very good breaking news.
It's one of those things that'll just light your hair on fire. I'll tell you that right now.
Yes.
We do have a lot of stuff to talk about. It's a one-hour edition of Right Side Patriots tonight. Nothing set in stone other than a few topic headlines that we just want to cover as we go through the two segments of the show tonight. We're going to be talking about things like Liz Cheney being out and Stefanik being in. We're going to talk about the Colonial Pipeline cyber attack and the price of gas. But let's start tonight with what's going on in Israel right now. Diane, it's a mess over there.
It's a big, big mess. And it could escalate into full-blown war. And while, you know, Republicans are united behind Israel, the Democrats are split, of course.
Naturally. I mean, right. But we're hearing stuff, you know, from the usual suspects of elected liberals that is about as anti-Semitic as it can possibly be. We're also hearing some of that kind of crap from the mainstream media. None of that should come as any surprise.
No. And of course, Ilhan Omar, Rashida Tlaib, AOC, Bernie Sanders, they're all in lockstep against Israel. And Tlaib is one of the worst. And she's actually blaming the U.S. because we've always supported Israel. She's blaming us for what's happening now.
What a pile of bullcrap. And trust me, I come from cattle country. I know bullcrap when I see it and smell it.
I'll put it a little more bluntly. This woman is a piece of shit.
You know, it's amazing to me. Let's look just in the grandest, most broad brushstroke sense of the term as to what's going on over there. Hamas, an Iranian proxy that is occupying Gaza, okay, starts firing rockets 10 days, 2 weeks ago, starts firing rockets at Israel. Israel breaks out the Iron Dome. It's the defense missiles that take other missiles out of the sky. And Hamas just keeps lobbing more and more and more missiles into Israel. Israel, in turn, to defend themselves, is bombing Hamas sites and Hamas command and control centers in Gaza. And all of this is Israel's fault?
Yeah. It's always Israel's fault, according, you know, to the left. And but even Biden and Nancy Pelosi, shock, shock, both said Israel has a right to defend herself.
Well, they said it with a caveat.
Yeah. But hey, that's more than we thought we'd get from them.
Well, you know, look, first of all, we know who's pulling the strings. We know who's in charge. And it isn't Biden. Okay?
Right.
We know that who is in charge is a decided hater of all things Israel and a lover of all things Muslim.
Yeah.
Okay.
As in Obama.
Exactly. And, you know, so we know where all of this is coming from. But there are other things that surround all of this that's going on right now. Now, before we get in too deep, okay, folks, I just want to let you know, Diana's putting together a full-blown op-ed as to what's going on over there. And this will be ready probably at the end of next week. But, Diane, there are a
right,
few things that you have to wait
keep
for.
Up with what's going on? It's changing by the minute.
Yeah, it literally is. I mean, it's something new, literally, constantly over there right now. But what we can tell you is that well over 1,000 rockets over the last 4 or 5 days have been fired by Hamas terrorists, and that's what they are. They're terrorists. Have been fired by Hamas terrorists into Israel. Now, we can also tell you that an airport in Israel, not one of the bigger ones, but an airport in Israel was hit earlier today with a rocket. And that was a long-range rocket. That one had about a 250-kilometer range. So okay. Bigger than a lot of the other rockets that Hamas has been firing. And Hamas gets all their supplies and all their backing from Iran.
Right. Right. So it's basically all of this is coming from Iran. They're behind it all.
Right. Now, we can also tell you that Erdogan from Turkey went crying to Putin and asking Putin to bring international pressure against Israel. Now, let me ask you, Diane, do you think Putin's going to bring pressure against Israel?
Not a chance. Putin and Bibi have been forming a friendship for about 2 years now. They do trade with each other. Russians vacation in Israel, Israelis vacation in Russia. They've got some medical partnerships going. There's no way that Bibi is going to throw Israel under the bus.
You mean
needs
Putin?
Certain things from Israel that he can't get from anyone else.
You meant Putin, not Bibi.
I mean Putin, I'm sorry.
Well, yeah. Now, there is a photo of Putin meeting with Erdogan. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And the look on Putin's face is like, who let this guy in here?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, so, but, you know, Erdogan hates Israel, hates the Jews, you know, it's just the way it is. And Iran obviously hates anything but Iran. And Hamas is the Iranian proxy. So you've got all of that in the mix. The one thing nobody seems to be talking about right now is what role in all of this has been played by John Kerry. Okay, it came out a couple of weeks ago that John Kerry had leaked information about Israeli strikes to Iran.
Yeah, that's true. Remember that? Oh, he's leaked more than Israeli strikes to Iran. John Kerry has leaked American secrets to Iran, Israeli secrets to Iran.
Well, doesn't it seem odd? Doesn't it seem odd to you, Diane, that within a couple of weeks of that coming out, all of this starts up?
Of course.
I mean, coinkadink? No.
Yeah, big coincidence, right?
Right. So it's an absolute mess over there. What is most interesting to me is, and we talked a little bit about this on Tuesday's show, and I just want to reiterate this, okay? In 100 days, we went from a much more stable Middle East and peace deals being signed between Israel and the Arab nations over there to a complete freaking disaster.
True. Yeah.
I mean, it's just astounding, you know, but this is, you know, you can come on, folks, you can see Obama's fingerprints and his DNA all over this.
Of course. I mean, Obama is behind all the recent problems in the Middle East. All of it. He let the Muslim Brotherhood, you know, infiltrate our country. He caused the problems in the Middle East with Egypt, with Libya. I mean, straight down the line.
Yeah, the vacuum of power.
Was in everything bad in the Middle East.
When it came to
Trump,
the Middle East,
on the other hand, brokered peace between Israel and the Gulf states.
And you know, if Trump would still be in the White House today, there would be more of those peace deals being signed every month.
Absolutely. Not only that, if Trump was still in the White House, none of this would be happening. Hamas knows Biden. He might talk, oh yes, we, you know, support Israel, but he's going to do nothing against them. If this happened on Trump's watch,
oh,
Bibi and Trump would be going in and ending this together once and for all.
How close do you think, and what do you think the chances are of a ground offensive launched by Israel into Gaza? What do you think the chances of that happening are?
I think it's very good because they've already gone in and destroyed some tunnels that were linking Gaza into Israel. They've already done that. They haven't yet gone into Gaza, at least not at the last time I checked with my Israeli sources, but they're all amassed at the border. They're ready to go, ground troops, the tanks. I think it's time Israel goes in and just cleans out Gaza completely. And I don't want to hear about, you know, oh, the children. The parents give them up to use as human shields.
Well, not only that, but...
And they're terrorists in the making.
Not only that, but the PLO is back to paying martyrs and martyrs' families, okay?
Yes.
And, of course, you know, that ended while Trump was in office, but it's back on now, and you know why? Come on, folks, you know why? It's because we're paying the PLO again.
Exactly. A lot of money. A lot.
So you've got all these different balls in the air over there between Israel and Hamas, the PLO. You know, and I don't want to go into too much detail here because I know part of what you're putting together. I don't know all of it yet because nobody knows all of it yet. It's still unfolding, you know?
Exactly.
So I don't want to get into too much detail on all of this, but I expect this weekend it's either going to completely explode, or Hamas is going to try and get some sort of a ceasefire or something.
Well, Hamas already tried to get a ceasefire. It didn't go over very well because their ceasefire comes with a lot of caveats. And on this, Bibi and Gantz are united. Gantz has called for more security in Jerusalem. What these people don't understand is in 67, Israel recaptured Jerusalem. Jerusalem is the capital of the Jewish people. It has very little significance in the made-up religion of Islam. Very little. If any, basically. Jerusalem belongs to the Jews, undivided for eternity. As far as I am concerned, the Al-Aqsa Mosque is the Temple Mount. I could care less about it being a mosque. To me, as an American, it's the Temple Mount, which is also, you know, holy to the Roman Catholic faith. This nonsense really has got to stop. Israel has got to take what's rightfully theirs. Because when you think about it, all this is over a Palestinian homeland. Do you see one of the Arab countries, one, offering any of their land or even to take in the Palestinians?
No, of course not. But the Palestinians actually do have a homeland. It just happens to be called Jordan.
Jordan. Even King Hussein, Abdullah's father, said the Palestinians were Jordanians. They hold Jordanian passports. If they travel, they have Jordanian DNA. They are Jordanian. There's no such thing as Palestinians. They were invented by Yasser Arafat in the 1960s to push forward the PLO agenda. They're not a real people. They have no culture. They have no language, per se. They have no history. They have no money. They have nothing that makes a group of people a given group of people. None. They're sponges with their hands out. Israel has tried to help them, and for a while it worked until Iran got involved and the whole Hamas nonsense. I mean, it's time for this to end.
I agree, and we'll see what happens over the weekend. I think we're going to know a lot more by Monday. So,
yes.
You know, we'll see what happens with all that. Your computer or something over there is making all sorts of noises.
125 rockets were sent into Israel.
Yeah, well, and you know, you can bet they're still shooting. They're shooting 24/7 over there. So, you know, that's just kind of the way it is. We'll know a lot more by Monday, and we'll be able to bring you more information by Tuesday night show, and then by Friday, a week from today, Diane's going to have this op-ed all put together and published. So then we'll get some behind-the-scenes information as well. So stay tuned for that. Now, in the, 11 minutes or so that we have left in this segment, let's talk about that pipeline cyber attack, that Colonial Pipeline cyber attack. Apparently, a wee bit of money was paid for the ransom attack.
Yeah, $5 million. Now, what that does, this was, they were hacked by a group called DarkSide. And it's probably not who people think. I don't believe, as some are alluding, that it's Russians. I don't believe that for a minute. I think this is homegrown American haters.
I tend to agree, and I'll tell you why. $5 million to Russia is a pittance.
Exactly.
Okay, they're not going to do anything and hold it for ransom for $5 million. And shutting down this pipeline, there's nothing in that for Russia. Nothing.
Nothing. But there is stuff in there for groups like, and I'm not saying it's them, but groups like BLM and Antifa. There's a lot in, ooh, we can now threaten and we'll get lots of money and, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Now, let me tell people, not every state on the East Coast is serviced by them. My state of Florida, we get our oil from offshore. It doesn't come from that pipeline. There are, though, states that are feeling it very bad. North Carolina is one of them.
Well, and so is Virginia.
Yeah.
Virginia today, folks, this will get you. You know, if you live in Virginia or you live up and down certain places on the East Coast, you know, you're going to go, well, yeah. But if you live pretty much anywhere else and you think your gas prices are high at around $3, maybe $4 a gallon, in Virginia today, it was $7 a gallon. The gas price in Virginia today is now officially higher than Hunter Biden.
That's a good one.
I mean, holy crap, $7 a gallon. Somebody's gouging people.
Yeah. A very big gouging people.
I mean, that's
horrible. This is totally wrong. Okay, to take advantage of your own, you know, customers, your own people by jacking up prices like that. The pipeline is back in order. It's working again. They paid their ransom. It's working again. Give it a day or two. All the tanks, the gas tanks will be refilled and you'll be able to get gas again. But in the meantime, don't do this to American citizens, your customers. You're screwing your customers.
Well, and, you know, look, like you said, the pipeline's back up. There's oil flowing through the pipeline now. But they're not going to drop that price down overnight. Oh, hell no.
No.
In fact, this weekend's Powerball, if you hit the Powerball jackpot, you win a full tank of unleaded and a sheet of plywood.
That's another thing that's gone up like crazy is the price of wood.
It's wood. It literally grows on trees.
Yeah.
I mean, jeez. But
it's gotten to the point that these people, they're screwing their own countrymen, their own people, their own customers for a couple of bucks. Become?
Yes. Yes. And, you know, folks, let's bear in mind, I was reading a report from AAA, the automotive agency, today, and they're saying that the price of gas is going to continue to go up because the summer driving season is here.
Mm-hmm.
They say, and I can kind of understand this to a point, okay? Because I, like Diane, I'm getting sick and tired of hearing COVID being the scapegoat for everything. All right.
Oh, it is, yes.
But AAA said last year's low gas prices probably had a lot to do with COVID because there were fewer people out driving. Therefore, the demand for oil and gas was way down, and that helped bring the price down. Now, they're saying this year, with COVID kind of waning and people wanting to get back to normal and the tourist season coming up, summer literally starts in a couple of weeks. You know, I know summer doesn't really start until the end of June, third week in June, but you know, the summer season, the tourist season starts at the end of May. They're saying that because of all that, gas prices will probably continue to rise. And I'm saying, why?
Yeah. Why? Because Joe Biden, you know, has shut down the Keystone Pipeline, which would have helped bring gas prices way, way down. He's, you know, against the fracking. He's doing everything in his power to cut fossil fuel. Things that we really need, especially oil and coal. But in the case of gasoline, he wants, you know, the oil. No. Everybody should have little putt-putt electric cars. It doesn't work that way.
You know, it's funny you bring up the electric car thing. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I was looking at a map. This was Monday, I think, that the Federal Department of Transportation put out a map of all the different routes you can take in the country and recharge your electric car along the way, right?
Yeah.
South Dakota is completely blank.
Hmm.
There is not one charging station in all of South Dakota.
Okay.
And I think, not positive of this, but I think Mississippi was that way as well. Two states where you cannot recharge an electric car. So, you know, I mean, now, South Dakota intends to do something about that because they see money in it, and probably rightly so. If they can get some charging stations and things put in along I-29 and I-90, I-29 runs north and south along the eastern edge of South Dakota. I-90 runs east and west all the way across the state. If they can get charging stations put in those places, tourists with, you know, electric skateboards will then be able to recharge their skateboards, and they might get more tourist dollars coming into the state. So,
okay.
But, yeah, I mean, this is nuts. We were energy independent.
Yes.
On January 20th, and between January 21st and now, we've got gas shortages, $7 a gallon gas in Virginia. We got people lining up at the pumps. We got pumps running out of gas. Holy crap. And then you got this idiot Governor Whitmer up in Michigan, and she's talking about shutting down another pipeline.
Yeah. I mean, they are doing everything in their power to destroy this country. And their puppet master, I am convinced, is Obama. And the money's coming from Soros.
Bingo.
Mm-hmm.
Bingo.
It's expensive to destroy our country. But the problem with that, is also that, I'm sorry, this distracted me. This is a very important call. The problem with that is they're destroying America and replacing it with everything that is the antithesis of our Constitution.
And they're trying to do it at warp speed.
Yes.
You know, and that's, it's so wrong. Okay, folks, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take the bottom of the hour break. We've got one segment left in the show. We want to talk about Liz Cheney, and we've got breaking news for you that's going to light your hair on fire before we get out of the show tonight. Yes. So stay where you are. More Right Side Patriots after this.
Hi, guys. Diane Sorey from The Patriot Factor on thepatriotfactor.blogspot.com, where I found a home base 7 years ago after becoming one of Facebook's longtime Facebook felons, or so I've been told by the Facebook gods. On my blog, you will find not only my articles, but our Right Side Patriots investigative reports, as well as stories and links to and from well-known writers and bloggers, plus what I call almost daily memes, my snarky take on news of the day. And for more great takes on the issues of the day, check out The National Patriot at thenationalpatriot.com, where you can read Craig's insight into all the current news happenings. And join us both on Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. EST at rspradio1.com.
You're listening to Right Side Patriots Radio, the best in conservative commentary, news, and talk, where we do away with the politically correct nonsense and give you the politically direct truth. This is the home of Right Side Patriots every Tuesday and Friday night from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern with Craig Andreessen and Diane Sorey. We're working to make this country great again from the right and leaving puddles of melted snowflakes on the left. Thanks for listening to Right Side Patriots, your best bet on the internet.
You're listening to RSPRadio1.com.
Welcome back to Right Side Patriots on RSPRadio1.com. Craig Andreessen from the National Patriot. Diane Sorey at the Patriot Factor. Getting you through a Friday night. One segment left. Shortened show tonight. Just an hour. But so many things that we have to talk about. Folks, if you miss any part of the show, you just go to RSPRadio1.com tomorrow morning. Click on podcasts. Podbean hosts our podcasts, and you could be one of the pod people if you do that.
Oh, fuck.
Everybody wants to be a pod people. I mean, that's kind of the way I look at it. I mean, who wouldn't? You know, you got the opportunity to become a pod person? Jump on it. You know, that's what we're saying. So Liz Cheney, the former, gives me great pleasure to say that, the former chair of the House Republican Conference is no longer the chair.
No. Now the new chair is Elise Stefanik from New York. She's now the number three Republican in the House. And she got this position for her loyalty to President Trump. And she's going to start delivering the party message.
Now, there were, it was a voice vote, from what I understand. It took place behind closed doors. I don't know if we'll ever know how many people voted for Liz Cheney and how many people voted against her. I can tell you that I know Dusty Johnson up in South Dakota, he's a congressman from South Dakota, he voted to keep Cheney. And I thought he had more sense than that.
Well, sometimes people you think have sense have no sense.
Apparently, Stefanik was elected by an overwhelming vote early this morning.
Yeah.
You know, which is great.
And that's a on the record vote.
Yeah, yes. And she's sharp.
Yeah, I remember hearing her during the election. She's very astute and a Republican coming from New York. That's quite a feat.
Well, and a lot of people had no idea who she was until the impeachment hearing, and she piped up during that, and she left no doubt that she was a force to be reckoned with. A lot of people went, who is that? You know?
Right.
And for good reason, because she is absolutely as sharp as a tack. And now I know there's people out there that think, oh, you know, she's kind of a Paul Ryan, you know, type. No, she's not. I mean, folks, you got to remember, there was a day when Paul Ryan was considered a great conservative.
Yes. Okay. I mean, he turned out to be, you know, a rhino.
Right.
But Stefanik is pretty new to politics. She entered Congress in 2015, and she's from an upstate New York district that twice voted for Obama. But she took away, when she started running, she took away those Democrat votes, and her district actually shifted towards Trump.
Well, and that's one of the reasons why she was so overwhelmingly voted into that leadership role this morning, is because she has the ability to turn blue into red.
Yeah. And that's very, very important.
Well, especially coming up to the election midterm 2022.
2022, we got a problem because of voter fraud. Look, if they can steal a presidential election, they can steal congressional elections.
Well, and they may well have stolen some congressional seats last November.
And some Senate seats.
But you got to look at the way things are going in this country right now. I think there's buyer's remorse from people who actually voted for Biden and liberal members of Congress. I think there's starting to be some buyer's remorse. So, you know, if that's the case, and you've got somebody like Stefanik, who's from a primarily, you know, blue area, but is able to shift votes to red, that's good. That's a good type of person to have in a primary leadership role inside the House.
Right. Right. And especially, you know, you can see the difference between the two women, because when Cheney was removed, her first remarks were, "I will do everything I can to ensure that the former president never again gets anywhere near the Oval Office." Well, to me, that kind of sounds like a threat.
Yeah, you think?
Yeah. Everything I can to ensure. Yeah, that sounds like a threat. I think she needs a little looking into. I wonder what her daddy thinks about her.
You know what? You've asked that question several times, and I gave that some thought over the last couple of days, because you brought that question up Tuesday night right here on Right Side Patriots. Mm-hmm. So since then, I've been thinking about it, and here's the conclusion I've come to. I think he's right there in the same camp. I do, because, look, Dick Cheney and the Bushes are as tight can be. Okay? The Bushes the Bushes want nothing to do with Trump. Dick Cheney was also tight with John McCain. Okay?
Yeah.
I mean, so I don't think this is a situation where Dick Cheney is upset with Liz Cheney, even in the least. I think he's probably goading her on.
I'm not so sure about that. I'm really not. Dick Cheney, he has one thing that some of the others didn't have. He really loves this country. And you can tell that by what he did as vice president.
Well, I'm
not so sure he agrees 100% with her.
I understand what you're saying, but I think he has a deep-seated hatred of Donald Trump. I don't think he's looking at it as a patriotic thing. I think he's looking at it as a personal thing.
Well, if he's looking at it a personal thing, then he's lost all credibility he ever had.
I would agree. I would agree. You know, I met the man many, many years ago. Very engaging guy to talk to. You know, very, very almost common, uncommonly common for a person. And he was he wasn't the vice president when I met him. He was the Secretary of Defense.
Okay.
When I met him. And so I kind of thought he'd be a little bit more erudite and a little bit more standoffish. That was not the case. Very, very nice guy, very easy guy to talk to. But I'll tell you something, as he's grown older, I think he has cemented his relationship with the Bush family. And if the Bushes are leaning in a certain direction, he's going to lean that way too. Just the way I feel about it. And I think one of the telling things was just a few weeks ago, he did ads promoting continuing to wear a mask.
I didn't know anything about that.
Put it out on Twitter and Instagram. Yeah. So I think he's kind of gone to the dark side, you know, the rhino establishment side of things, if you will. I don't think he's got a problem with Liz saying and doing what she's doing. In fact, I think he's probably spurring her on to do it. But I'll tell you something. I don't know how well it's going to fly in the state of Wyoming.
No, I think her, unless she puts the D next to her name, which I wouldn't put it past her to do, I think she's done politically.
I think even if she puts the D behind her name, I think she's done politically, because I don't think Wyoming is going to elect a Democrat to fill her seat.
That's why she's done.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think she's, you know, I think she's, and I think she knows it, so she's going to be as loud and as obnoxious as she can be.
You know? And she could be pretty damn obnoxious.
Well, she is. She is. But congratulations to Elise Stefanik, because I'm telling you what, I expect big things from her, and I'll be shocked if she doesn't come through.
True. I agree.
You know, so good for her. All right. We've got a little less than 20 minutes left. About 30 minutes before we went on the air tonight, I came across some breaking news. I shot it over to Diane. I said, you got to see this, and we got to talk about it. And here's the headline, okay? Before I read the headline, let me just refresh people a little bit, because all this other stuff, the pipeline, all the gas price, you know, all this stuff, Israel, Cheney, it's all kind of knocked this stuff back in the headlines, okay? Remember, Maricopa County, Arizona, is going through an election audit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? We haven't heard anything about it for about a week, maybe a little over a week, because of all the other things that are distracting us from it. We can't give you any numbers, because no numbers are being released until the audit is completely done. So if you see any posts that have numbers in them, like, oh, they found 250,000, that was one that was out a couple of weeks ago, it's bogus. No numbers have been released. But here's the headline. Breaking. Maricopa County election officials deleted entire database from voting machines, including all election information from main database.
Yes. And you forgot, along with a copy of a Senate letter.
Well, there's the Senate letter that's referred to in this headline is part of the article that this came with. There's a state senator in Arizona. Her name is Karen Fan. Okay, she is the president of the Arizona Senate. She wrote a letter to Chairman Sellers, and Chairman Sellers is the election chairman there, and she wrote this long letter to him. There are so many irregularities that took place in Maricopa County, it would light your hair on fire.
Yeah, basically what this means, folks, President Trump was 100% correct about election fraud taking place. You don't delete an entire database like this if you weren't trying to hide something. If, now look at it this way, if his election was corrupted, which obviously it was, so were the congressional races in Georgia and the all-important critical Senate races, where one of the Republicans lost by a handful of votes. This election, as far as I'm concerned, has been a fraud, a steal, and Trump should be sitting in the White House, and Biden knows it.
A couple of weeks ago, we heard in this Arizona audit, right, that Dominion had not turned over the passwords so that the auditors could get into the machines.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And at that point, Dominion was like, oh, yeah, okay, we'll get that stuff to you. Okay, you know, keep your shirts on, that kind of thing, right? Well, now it turns out that the entire database for the 2020 general election, which showed the result tally and reporting, has been entirely deleted. But that is just where the malfeasance begins.
Okay. Okay, but there's also something else, and I am looking at it right now. I am staring at a picture of George Soros sitting side by side, buddy-buddy, at some kind of convention or whatever, with the head of Dominion.
I'm
staring right at it.
You know, look, folks, you know, I mean, it is what it is, right?
Mm-hmm.
You go down through this letter that was written to the election commissioner here, and there is all sorts of malfeasance that is taking place here. Maricopa County has refused to provide the passwords necessary to access vote tabulation devices. Okay. Their attorneys say that the county does not have custody or control of that information, and it's believed the county's conduct of its own audits, which they were as comprehensive as they were purported to be, certainly would have entailed the use of passwords. Okay, that tells you that Maricopa County officials, honestly, were not in charge of the Maricopa County election. By law, they're supposed to be, but if they didn't have the passwords, they could not possibly have been. There's also problems with the chain of custody documentation for ballots. Okay?
Right.
Now, you go through this thing further. Bags in which the ballots were stored were not sealed, although the audit team did find at the bottom of many boxes cut seals of the type that would have sealed a ballot bag. That means those bags, after they were sealed, after the election, were cut open and fiddled with. Okay?
Of course they were.
I mean, it goes on and on and on. Most of the ballot boxes were sealed with regular tape, not secured by tamper-evident seals that are supposed to be used. A significant number of instances where there's a disparity between the actual number of ballots contained in a batch and the total denoted on the report slip. What?
Oh, nice. Well, I need to make a correction here, Craig. It's on something that I said. I said he's with the head of Dominion. It's a subsidiary of Dominion that he was with. The man he was with, this is even worse, the man he was with, and I have the picture, is a man by the name of Malik Brown. Now, he's the head of Smartmatic, the very software company that switched votes from Trump to Biden. And this picture first came out when they did an interview on November 27th after the election was secured for Biden.
Well, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. Okay, yep. Now, today, after all this news broke, that these databases had been erased. Remember, if you go back a week and a half, Dominion was saying, yeah, keep your shirts on, we'll get you the passwords, right? Today, Dominion came out and attacked the forensic auditing team that's performing the audit. They defended the EAC group that rubber-stamped the previous counting of ballots, and Dominion says now, definitively, they will not release the passwords to the Maricopa County voting machines. They will not allow any auditors to look at their machines. What are they hiding?
Well, I can tell you what they're hiding. The man I just told you, Malik Brown, Mark Malik Brown, okay, right after the election, and everything was secured for Biden, he was appointed as the chairman of George Soros's Open Society Foundations.
Oof. Oof.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
You think the right man is sitting in the White House, folks?
Hell no.
No way.
Hell no. A week before the machines were turned over, records were deleted by an administrator. That's Dominion. Okay? Mm-hmm. It should be treated as an act of intentional cover-up. The Maricopa, Arizona audit team has also tweeted about a breaking bombshell. Maricopa County deleted a directory full of election databases from the 2020 election cycle days before the election equipment was delivered to the audit.
Yes.
So
and
that stuff,
spoliation of evidence.
That stuff was there until Dominion realized, oh, we've got to turn this over, so let's just erase all of it and then give it to them.
Yeah, you've got to ask yourself the question, folks, why would the database be deleted unless there was something massive they were trying to hide? I mean, logic, you got to use common sense and put the puzzle pieces together.
Diane, you're a conspiracy theorist, Diane. Don't you know that? Don't you know that? That's what the liberals are calling you right now, those that are listening. Those two are just conspiracy theorists.
We actually got called that on one of our articles.
I know.
In the comment section.
I know.
If anything, we're not, is conspiracy theorists.
You know, here's the conspiracy. Let's fix an election. Okay? I mean, here's my thought. And Diane, I don't know. You and I haven't talked about this. Okay, no. So I don't know if you feel the way I do or not, but I'm wondering if right now, if you went and subpoenaed the voting machines from, let's say, Halpin County in Michigan, Clark County in Georgia, Philadelphia, so on and so forth. You went to those hot spots, Wisconsin. Okay, if you went to those hot spots and you subpoenaed their Dominion voting machines, would their databases also be erased before they got turned over?
Yeah.
I'm willing to bet they would. You know, you look at where all this malfeasance took place around the country. All these big blue enclaves, none of them want their stuff audited. And the one they got through was Maricopa County. They got an audit going in Maricopa County, and now what's happened? Databases have been erased. There's no chain of custody for the ballots. The ballot bags have been tampered with. The ballot numbers in the bags do not match the ballot numbers on the slips of paper. The batch files are all off. They don't know what batch is what in these boxes. I mean, the list of malfeasance goes on and on.
It just gets better and better. But I just got a little bit of breaking news here.
Okay.
The United States has officially withdrawn 120 military personnel from Israel and is warning Americans against traveling to Israel due to the escalating violence in the conflict between Israel and the Palestinians. Really nice. Those were not fighting personnel that were there, guys. Those were top-notch personnel who were probably on the level of the Mossad. They've been pulled.
Well, but you know, Israel has a right to defend themselves. That's what blathering Biden is saying. They got a right to defend themselves, but we're not going to be there.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, dear.
Bibi is going to have to go this one alone. But I have confidence that if he decides to make that move, it's going to be decisive.
Well, Bibi knows, I'm sure he knows, that the American people are behind him in Israel. The American government, thanks to the string puller, continues to stab Israel in the back.
It's absolutely outrageous. It's unconscionable.
But again, folks, when this election was stolen, we knew this was going to happen. We warned people stuff like this was going to happen. But nobody believed it. Nobody believed it. And just imagine how bad it's going to be when when Biden is 25th amendmented out, Harris is in, and Obama takes up residence in the White House.
And people are wondering, what's the rush? Why is all this stuff happening in just 100 days? I'll tell you why. Because I don't know that Biden's got 200 days in him.
I don't think he does. He looks worse and worse every time. He stumbles more and more, and he doesn't have a clue.
They're trying to get all this done, all this in place, the entire setup for destruction. They're trying to get that all locked in before they enshrine Harris in that seat.
Right.
Okay, and then all she's got to do is play the game.
Yeah, she won't be making any decisions or doing anything.
She'll be a sock puppet, a cackling sock puppet.
Yeah.
All right, and so, I mean, it's pretty transparent what's going on.
Yes.
Yeah. All right, so we're just about out of time here, folks. We're sorry for the abbreviated show, but things are breaking so fast. Diane's working on this piece for next Friday. And as we said earlier in the show, things in Israel are happening by the minute. I mean, you just got breaking news from Israel.
Exactly. And it's very hard to keep updating an article.
Because none of that was out there when we went on the air less than an hour ago, and now it is.
And now it is.
You know, so we're gonna put an end to the show early tonight, only a one-hour version of the show tonight. Just got a couple of minutes left. We want to thank you folks for being a part of it tonight. We're going to know a lot more about the situation on the world stage, and we'll probably know a lot more about the situation domestically by the time we take to the air next Tuesday.
Right, and maybe even by Friday, Craig, we might be doing a two-hour show.
It could very well be. That could very well happen.
The whole Middle East could be on fire by then.
We're gonna keep a close eye on it over the weekend. We're going to keep an eye on everything that's going on over the weekend. Folks, make sure you go to rspradio1.com. That's our website. You can go through all the different pages on there. We'll get things updated on there again tomorrow. Always keep checking there for breaking news, because if something really big's going on, we'll get it in breaking news. And stand by for Tuesday, because I got a feeling Tuesday's show could be a barn burner. I really think so.
It's not about, you know, Israel or the Middle East or anything, but it's got a couple of other things that people are going to find extremely interesting.
By the end of Tuesday night's show, I'm not going to tell you why yet, folks, but I could have black helicopters over my house.
I can see them knocking on my door.
So, you know, I mean, this is going to get wild next week. I'm telling you right now.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But with that, Diane, why don't you and I wrap this one up for the week?
Okay. Nighty night, folks.
Good night, everybody. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you Tuesday.